We'd like to welcome each and every individual to the Mastermind Magic Group. Hi, my name is Mark Borsma, President of Synergy Solutions. I'll be your executive coach for today's group coaching session. Today's group coaching session is being recorded audibly. It's not being the screen. If you want to jump on the and see what kind of is on my screen, you can do that by going to www.ravingfan.net. That's www.ravingfan.net. A lot of the curriculum, a lot of the resources that we do use for this session is coming from the Vision Project, and so you're free to go on to the Vision Project anytime. It's called thevisionproject.net, and there's lots of resources that are available there. And so we are going to get started. If you do have any questions, feel free to connect with the individual who invited you to participate in today's session, or you can call toll-free 888-230-2300. That's 888-230-2300. This particular mastermind group is focused in on individuals that are in their 20s. I am not, but I have three of my children, my three oldest children, are in their 20s. And so Bobby is kind of leading this group with my assistance, and so at some point he may take over this group and I may not be involved, or I may be involved just as you guys desire to go ahead and have me involved or need me to be involved. So Bobby, how are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
Good. Did you have good progress over the last 2 weeks in moving forward in starting your own company and then moving forward in the engagement and towards the marriage? Are you making some progress there?
With the marriage, since we put it a year away, I'm kind of focused on the business right now, which is taking up a lot of my time.
Okay, cool.
I suppose it's progress in the sense, there's definitely been productive things. We put out a CD and we made enough in sales that I can buy more CDs.
Nice.
That's a very basic thing. That's like $25 in sales, but that's still something,
It's still something, absolutely. All right, we've got a couple new guests on today, and I just want to make sure we acknowledge them. Someone's calling in from 313. Who's calling in from 313? Or 331, sorry.
No, that's me. I'm Alex. I'm Bobby's friend.
Alex?
Yes, yes, sir.
Hey, Alex, how are you doing today?
I'm sorry?
How are you doing today?
Tired, working a lot.
Yeah. And
pretty
did you hear about us, Alex?
Bobby invited me.
Okay, cool. Excellent. Well, great to have you on. And then somebody's calling in from the 630 area code, 6567.
That's Lissy.
Lissy, how are you, Lissy?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing really, really good. Good.
Yay.
All right. So we have also on today Ben Wittick. He is on. We have Alex. We have Bobby. We have Lissy. We have Ginger Ann. Ginger Ann, how are you doing today?
Doing good. I'm on here for a couple minutes, so if you're going to jump on for a few minutes.
Cool. And we have Keith on, and then we have Mark Borsman as well. And again, this session is being recorded just audibly. It's not the full visual today. We may do that in the future. All right, so let's go ahead. And Ginger Ann, how long do you have?
We have about 10 minutes.
10 minutes. All right. So let's take you first. The group for those in their 20s. It's really helping to find focus and vision and life passion and purpose and, what is my life vision and how do I find a career? How do I build a career? How do I start a company? How do I do really what, I was meant to do? Do you have any suggestions? How are you progressing on your life vision? I know you've got a lot of stuff going on in your life right now.
I'm doing pretty good, mostly trying to, wind things down for a little bit as I kind of shift gears into a new stage. So it's going really well working on getting the VA project working off. I've got a couple people that are interested in trying to get them set up and moving forward on that. So.
Okay. And you're 24, married for 18 months. You're due in 2 weeks, something like that, right? With your first little one. How is Josh moving forward in the 8 to 10 things that he's, how's your husband moving forward in the 8 to 10 things that he's doing? Is he moving that ball down the, you know, down the...
I'll let him answer that for himself.
All right. Josh.
I started creating an outline for the book, and I just have a question for the group, if you don't mind.
Sure, absolutely.
Okay. If you were looking for a book that were that was going to give you instruction on where to go, I mean, just in one word, what would you categorize that book as or describe it as?
So just so you guys understand, so Josh is looking at writing a book, and it's a book that is being written to help people kind of find their life purpose, Josh?
That's correct.
Okay. And so what would be one, so Josh's question is, what would be one word that you would go ahead and use to describe that? Okay, I got mine. Okay, Ben?
Yep.
Did you get your word?
No.
Okay. Alex, how about you? Do you have your word?
I'm not familiar with any of these processes. None of this has really been explained to me yet, so I'm kind of, I guess I'm just listening right now.
Okay, cool. Bobby, your word?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, what is it?
Self-help.
Okay, excellent. Okay, Ginger Ann, you got your word?
No.
Yes?
I'm working on it, I think.
Okay. Keith, do you have a word?
Yeah, I got a word. I'm a little bit fuzzy. It's been so up since 3 a.m., but my word is purpose.
Okay, nice. Okay. Lissy, I don't know if you heard that question.
Yeah, I got cut off for a second. I couldn't hear anything, so I just dialed back in.
Okay.
I was as far as Josh is writing a book, but I'm not sure what about.
He's looking, it's a book to kind of have self-discovery, how one discovers themselves, their purpose in life, where they're going, those types of things. And so he's looking for one word. So the words are self-help, purpose. Do you have a word?
God. I don't know.
Okay, good. Excellent. God. All right. And my word is discovery. So those are, you got four words, Josh. Is that what you were looking for?
That should do.
All right.
Wait, oh, Ginger had one.
I figured out mine right before you said yours would be vision.
Oh, nice. Nice. All right. Excellent. Excellent. And we look forward to, I think, Josh, next week when you guys have a little more time, we'll kind of have you share your experience about, you know, moving from Michigan. You'd been raised your whole life there. And then you moved out to the D.C. area, and how in 3 months that has transformed your life, your perspective, and maybe how can other people have that transformation? That would be really cool to have you share that experience.
Okay.
So, all right. Ben, what would you like to accomplish today?
I haven't been on the calls in a while, and I saw an email come through between you and Dave Libby, and so I just wanted to see what was going on.
Okay.
But I'm good for today as far as needing anything.
Okay. And how are you doing just in life, in your career, in relationships, in spiritual, if you value that, just anything that you value in life, how are you progressing? You're 24?
26.
So you're 26. How are you progressing in life overall?
Pretty well. You know, the career side of things, I really believe I had a false vision as far as where my income needed to go, and I was basing my success on that. And I've kind of shifted more towards the spiritual dimension, so I've been working very deeply in that. I just got done doing a 3-day, or it was like a 3 or 4 day camp up in Lake Geneva with a bunch of foster kids and stuff like that, and just having this unlimited energy doing stuff like that. I come back into work and it's like I can barely get anything done, you know, and I've had tons of sleep and stuff. So, but I've been doing very well. I mean, but I'm definitely in that fourth spiritual dimension right now, and I'm kind of really enjoying that. So,
nice. Nice. Lissy, what would you like to, in one of the future sessions, we'll have Ben share his story. He has got an amazing story to share. And so in one of the future weeks, we'll have him share his story as well.
Okay.
Lissy, what would you like to accomplish today?
Insight for financing for school.
Nice. Okay. And share with individuals a little bit about yourself. You know, what your goals are, how old you are, what your goals are, where you're at in life, what you're looking at going to college for, long-term goals, those type of things.
All right. Well, my name's Lissy. I'm 21 years old. I'm currently just going to community college right now. I'm looking to get my bachelor's in biology and then go forth on to medical school. I'd like to do, like, freelance healthcare. That's kind of far away, but I feel very led to do that. So I'm just in my first semester of that and looking forward, me being at community college and barely being able to pay for that myself, looking in the future towards the university, I kind of just want to start, like, considering my options for how I can make that possible to go and get that education.
You know how much money you need?
I'm guessing probably somewhere near, like, $100,000. I don't know.
Okay.
I haven't looked into it. I'm probably thinking about going to the medical school at UIC and getting my bachelor's degree there. And I went there a couple years ago. My parents helped me out with it, but I'm still paying off some loans from that as well. But that was, like, $20,000 a year, so probably maybe even more than that.
Yeah, I'm guessing it's going to be – I'm guessing it's probably going to be closer to 200 or 250.
Yeah.
You know?
So.
My youngest sister, she went ahead and is a medical doctor. And so it would be good for me to connect, you know, her to you.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah, so she's, you know, she went through and, you know, she paid for her own college and a lot of loans. And I think with some of the things Bobby's looking at doing, some of the other networks, the goal you had said was to be able to give away your, you know, once you become a doctor, to be able to give away your services.
Yep.
And so to do that, you're going to need to go through.
Might have to have, like, you know, a job where I receive income for my services first, maybe for a year or two, but.
Well, the thing is about the medical that's so tough is your to get through medical is so expensive that you almost get through with so much debt that you can't afford to go ahead and give things away because you have to.
I know.
Right. So getting on top of that now, you know, getting on top of that now and saying this is what I want to devote my life to. And then saying, okay, how can I raise $250,000 so I get out of college debt-free and then I am capable of giving away, you know, the gifts that I have worked very hard for free.
Mm-hmm. Or even, like, I mean, like, I feel like what I'm doing is being led by God and it's for good purposes. And for the glory of God to show love to people in a way that a lot of people don't have the skills to. And I have a lot of hope in that I might get funding if this is truly, like, the path that I'm supposed to take. So, but I
believe,
I feel like starting now, like, being proactive and looking places for it and, like, seeing other people who have done similar work with their, like, medical abilities would be helpful.
Right. Nice. Alex, tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're at in your life, kind of what drew you to the group or what you'd like to accomplish or just anything you'd like to share.
All right, sir. I'm 22 years old. I live in the town next door to Bobby, and I've been in and out of my house for a long time due to kind of a lack of focus, I suppose, in terms of my career. I'll start up something, and then it'll fall apart. So I decided to devote myself much with his guidance to kind of the musical, creative, design artist path. And it's a rough track, but he's been talking to me about music ministry a lot recently, which is something that I've off and on really thought about dedicating my life to. And I think, I'm really here to kind of work with him in tandem to try to get that off the ground.
Nice. Great to have you here with us today.
Thanks, sir.
All right. Bobby, tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name is Bobby. I'm 22. And I'm trying to start some kind of musical record label business, band thing. Also trying to get married around next year. Pretty much. I just need to find a way to have money during the time it takes Lissy to become a rich doctor.
Well, she's not looking to be rich. You found that out today, right?
Well, yeah, we're going to have another mastermind group about that.
I'm thinking that may be in her wiring, in her DNA. I'm thinking you may need to be the rich businessman.
No, I'm kidding. No, I really support her idea and everything. It's been a weird period lately. I had a lot of musicians I was working with, a lot of doors that seemed to be opening up, and it was a very short-term thing. But for the amount of work I put in, there was definitely a lot of payoff.
Cool.
So I think with a lot more work being put in, it could definitely turn into something that could be a primary source of income.
Nice. Excellent. All right, Keith, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, gosh, Mark, where do you start? A little bit about myself. I'm an interdenominational Christian apologist. I'm a Christian apologist in interdenominational studies. I look to lift up men and women in ministry, business, and politics for the future of the kingdom.
Cool.
That's what I do.
And what would you like to accomplish today?
I would like to help the person who said they were looking to go to medical school by giving some unknowing advice that I got to be given by some college students out there that are in medical school.
Cool. All right. So, Bobby, do you know why I went ahead and took the route I did today? Rather than the route I did two weeks ago? Do you notice there's a difference?
Yeah.
Do you know why I did it differently this time?
You're in a better mood today?
No. Good guess, but no.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's cool. It's because I listened to you.
Yeah.
Because you went ahead and said, one suggestion on how it could improve, you said more dialogue. I'm like, that is a brilliant idea. I'm going to try that out and see how that works.
Isn't it great so far?
I think so. I think we haven't lost anybody. I mean, Ginger Ann had to leave, but that was something totally different. So everybody's still on, so that's a good sign. So, Bobby, where would you like us to take it from here?
From here, we've kind of... I'd like us to take the goals that we set out and maybe push them farther than what we expect to be able to get out of this group so that this group can start providing more than what we expect,
Okay.
So if I come to the group and I say, I guess I need advice on this, that's something legitimate. I could get advice, but there's a lot of people I could get advice from, and I think this group could be a gold mine of, you know, I want to set up a date where this day of the week I meet with someone and I partner with them trying to promote something, to market something, to work in a intermedia kind of, I don't know, whatever anyone's in. If there's someone who's like, you know, I have this thing, I want to have some kind of meeting or gathering or benefit, you know, well, let's get people to support it. I want to start materializing things.
Nice.
And
so
people in this group to materialize things for each other.
Excellent. Okay, so I don't know if you guys can see the screen. If in the future you can jump on the webinar, you'll be able to see a lot more in the future. We'll probably record both the audio and the screen so people can see it. There's natural laws, and there's over 150 of those that we've discovered in the last 20-plus years. One of those natural laws is the four steps to great leadership. And so if you want to accomplish anything, if you apply that natural law, you will accomplish it more often than not, and it'll take less resources and less time. And so step one is going to be the future picture, and that's the measurable results that you want to accomplish. So, for instance, Bobby and Lissy want to get married in a year. Okay, so you need to come up with a measurable result, or a measurable result probably financially, on how much money you need to have in the bank and or how much money you need to be generating on a monthly basis. That's a future picture. It's a measurable and it's a due date.
Okay.
And so if something's not measurable and if it's there's not a due date, it's like shooting an arrow at the wall and then drawing a circle around it and saying, "Wahoo! We hit the target." And so you want something concrete. Your future picture is not controllable, but it is heavily influenceable. So if you want to make, let's say Bobby needs to make $40,000 a year to get married, okay? He can't control the $40,000, but he can control the actions. And if he does the right actions in the right way over the right period of time, over time he will get a predictable result. Does that make sense to everyone?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Step 2A is what actions need to be taken and how. So what actions need to be taken and how? So again, if you do the right actions in the right way over the right period of time, you're going to get a predictable result. Step 2B is who needs to take the action. Step 3 is what's the due date of the action. And step 4 is manage up and manage out. What that means is communicating to other people. So if this mastermind group, you would communicate to one another, this is the action I took, this is the results that I got, this is why I think I got the results that I did, this is what I could have done better to get better results, and this is what I think the next steps are that I need to take to be able to move the ball down the field further. So the four steps to great leadership, there's an entire book that I wrote. It's an e-book. I think it's $8.95, so it's under 10 bucks that you can order if you wanted to. And there's one chapter for each of these things that drills into details based on personalities. Regardless whether you get the book or not, definitely go ahead and write down these the four steps to great leadership. So, again, step one is the future picture. It needs to be measurable and a due date. Step 2A is what actions need to be taken and how. Step 2B is who needs to take the actions. Step 3 is what's the due date. And step 4 is manage up and manage out. Now, ideally, and again, it's your guys' group. I'm a guest, and I'm on as long as you guys choose for me to be on. I don't desire to be involved in the group any more than I'm needed. So I would love it in 2 weeks if you guys came back and said, "Mark, I think we're good. We're fine." And so I'll be here as long as you guys need me to be here, but no longer than what you need. And so what I would recommend is you take the four steps and you apply it to one of you guys and then have everybody learn from that. Maybe everybody pitch in, maybe everybody help, whatever. But you take one project, apply this. When you go through these four steps, you will learn so much about life, relationships, business, making money, ministry. I mean, you will learn so much, it'll absolutely change your life. But Bobby's leading this group, so that would be my recommendation, Bobby, but it's your group, so you get to decide what you'd like to do.
Okay.
What would you like to do?
I'd like to look at this and encourage everyone by next week to have something that is a goal that they see a due date of within 1 month.
Okay.
A short-term goal that most likely would be a part of a long-term goal. But instead of saying, you know, here's my long-term goal, here's the future picture, here's everything, but then I have to come up with all these in-between things, start thinking of the in-between things and make those your priorities and start focusing on them.
Nice. So Bobby's assignment to the group is for you to apply the four steps to some area of your life and do it 30 days. So what measurable results do you want in 30 days? And then do these other four things. Is that correct, Bobby?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, what does the group think about that? Is that good?
I like that idea.
Okay.
Great.
So, Ben, that's good?
Yeah, it sounds good.
Okay, Alex?
Yes, sir.
Does that sound good? Okay. Keith?
Sounds good, Mark.
Okay. And so one other thing you might want to do is you might want to invite one other person to participate. So think of somebody else in their 20s that might benefit from this. And so there's a principle that if you want to really learn something, the way to really learn something is to teach it. If you really want to learn something, teach it. So ideally what you would do is you'd bring one person next week and you would have tried to share with them what I shared and what Bobby shared so they're up to speed next week on what the group is about. Maybe they've done their assignment, maybe they haven't. It's up to you, up to them. And so as you get more people together, you can take on bigger projects and you can feed your successes will start to feed one another. And so you can accomplish the definition of synergy, which is the company God's blessed us with. And so the definition of synergy is that we can accomplish more together than we ever could on our own, because the combination of all of our gifts and talents and networks and resources combined together properly, we will always produce more together than we ever could on our own. So the more people you get, the more all of you will accomplish, not only as a group, but individually as well. All right. Bobby, any other things that you'd like to share with the group?
Yeah. If by next week, you know, you find yourself, you're like, oh, no, it's 4 or 5:28. You go to call in and you're like, oh, you know what? I totally forgot to do that. Then you are going to assume the role of picking a person who did come up with a month-long plan, and you're going to be their primary assistant in achieving that.
What?
So anyone that does not complete the assignment will be designated to helping someone that did. That's synergy in action.
I love it. The guy is a maniac. He's a monster. That's awesome.
I hope that you don't call in and
I'm
going to
forget
to help me.
All right. Does anyone else have anything else that you'd like to cover or questions about the group or something you want to walk away with today to say, hey, that was a really good, worthwhile 30 minutes of my time?
I would like to ask Keith, I believe it was, who said that he had some friends in medical school and some insight that he could give me. I don't know if it would be best to cover this over the phone or if we should swap emails or something like that.
You can actually swap emails. I can go ahead and create the connection between you guys. If you guys aren't connected, I'll give you guys each other's emails.
Sounds good, man. Thanks.
Yep. Excellent. Any other questions or anything else that you guys would like to go ahead and accomplish today?
I actually do have a question that I was hoping to ask you since Bobby actually told me about you. One thing that I've always had problems with is finding people who are reliable contacts and allies in terms of pursuing business interests.
Okay.
And I've always had difficulty finding those people. I'm in creative design, and I think it's no more prominent anywhere else than there that you'll find people who are less than reliable. And I don't know if you could offer maybe a more general idea of where you've found allies in the past, where you go to look for new allies.
Wow. Alex, no one has ever asked me that question before in 48 years.
You're going to love him.
I love that question. The first thing that popped to my mind, Alex, is that you don't find them, you build them.
Would you mind expounding on that a little? I'm curious.
Yeah, no, it's cool. And if you guys need, if somebody needs to leave, feel free. We said it's a half an hour. We're a minute over. And so what we're going to do for the next half an hour, once we go ahead and finish with Alex's question, anybody else that has a question, we have a half an hour of flex time. But one of the things that Bobby and Lissy have asked for is they're engaged. And so I'm going to give them some input on marriage. And how do you build relationships for life? How do you build the foundational? And so we're going to actually probably put together a program, a process for not only Bobby and Lissy, but for other people. So that's what we'll do as soon as we're finished with this one. More detail for Alex is people are always looking for somebody better than themselves. I mean, I'd like to find that too, because then you can grow. Building solid, dependable people, it seems like a lot of the people that already maybe are dependable, they already have a group, they already have people following them, they already are leading other people. They may not need you and I, and so we need to go out and we need to learn how to build our own network. And so what I have found is I have found that building a group of people is part of the journey, and so some of it's going through the journey of being disappointed. And when you're disappointed by other people, one of two responses will always be the case, I found. One is you will be a bigger disappointment, or two is you will be hurt so much that you say, I don't ever want to let anybody down again. And then there's wisdom principles, Alex, that help you to train people, mentor people, help people evolve at a faster rate so they won't do it. Like I know with all of you guys on today, I know what's going to happen in the future. I can tell you what's going to happen. And what's going to happen is probably, it's not guaranteed, but there's a high statistical probability, probably you guys are going to latch into my energy, my passion, my excitement, and you're going to say, man, I love that guy. I mean, the insights he has, the energy he has, the passion he has, the network he has. I love that guy, and you will listen to me so closely, it'll be unbelievable. And then at some point, what's going to happen is you're going to hit a teenage moment, and at some point, you're going to go ahead and think, you know more than I do. The thing is...
I've been there.
And that's typically...
I'm telling the truth, you guys. Better be listening now.
And so the truth is you guys will know more than I do, but it's not in the areas you think it is. So, I mean, I've been leading groups. I've been leading groups for over 25 years. I mean, I've had my own company since I was 14 years old. And so I know business inside and out. I'm an international author and speaker. I do this for a living. I lead, you know, 10 to 15 webinars every single week. I am a master at it. But I can learn from Bobby, which I did. The challenge is typically there's a separation, Alex, that occurs at a teenage moment when somebody thinks that they know more than their mentor. And so what happens is the mentor doesn't know how to handle that. They often handle it improperly. They often get hurt because they've invested so much into somebody, and then all of a sudden they get shafted, and they're like, forget that person. And then there's this chasm that is created, and the person that separates themselves, the one who's being mentored, that separates themselves will realize fairly soon that they didn't know as much as they thought, and the whole cycle starts over. I've learned this largely from my 7 kids. A lot of the wisdom that I have in business doesn't come from my 3 bachelor's degrees in business. It doesn't come from my 48 years of experience over 35 years in business. It comes from being a parent of 7 children. That's where much of my wisdom comes from. And so, if like I know, like I've learned, that Bobby and I are really powerful together, like Ben and I are powerful together. It's the weirdest thing. But because I'm 48, I will attract 20-year-olds that Bobby may not attract, because they'll say, well, this guy's a business owner. He's an international author and speaker, and da-da-da-da. I want to come and listen to him. He must know something. And they'll become like intoxicated by that up to a certain point. And then when I say the hard things, then what they'll say is they say, well, Mark doesn't understand. He's too old. I mean, it's a different generation. So what Ben did is, Ben and I didn't talk before this. What Ben did is he gave me tremendous amounts of credibility by saying, listen to what he has to say. So the power comes in multi-generational input. So all of those things coming together, and then, Alex, continuing to learn how to make sure when you invest into other people, make sure that you help them to understand the investment that you're making, what your expectations are, and make sure that you're getting something from that as well. You're not just giving. Because if a farmer gives away all of his seed, he can't plant anything on his own. That was not a good answer. It wasn't tight. It wasn't clear. It wasn't concise. Obviously, it's the first time anyone's asked me. But that's the best I have for you today. Next week, Alex, I think I might have a better answer. Did any of that help, or did none of it make sense?
You know, what really sticks out to me is that you said something to the effect of, I should recognize the need to move people because most people aren't willing to move, something to that effect, and I can't expect people to move me forward.
Oh.
On the same token.
Nice. See, that was brilliant.
Can I offer something to add to that, Mark?
Yeah.
What I would say is, in building different networks over time, when you meet somebody else that's also a builder of networks, you never want to be the person to say, I've built my network, I'm fine in my network. You know, those two people probably have more to offer each other. So if you feel you've built your network, you're probably at that point in your life where you feel you've built something, and that's probably the point where you're going to say, well, maybe I'm wrong.
Nice. It's almost like you guys will get the feeling probably very quickly with me that I don't want to be a part of this group. I do, but I don't. So a lot of leaders, what they do is they get this tremendous rush of adrenaline by being a leader. And what they don't recognize is the responsibility and all the pain and the suffering and the turmoil that comes with being a leader. So Ginger Ann, she's my oldest. She's 24. She's due with her first child in 2 weeks. So I'm going to be a grandfather for the first time. And I am really looking forward to that a lot. When she got married, and she was a great, great kid, made great choices, just, and God's blessed her richly for that, for her really good choices. But even a girl, it was a relief when she got married, because no longer was I responsible for her, but her husband was. And so in leadership, I think, like, if I could help you guys learn, you don't want to lead people. You want to get people to your peers as fast as possible, because that's when you're going to grow the most. That's when you're going to accomplish the most. You want competition where I'm trying to outgive you and you're trying to outgive me. You know, just like in a marriage, you know, I want my wife to be amazed by me. I want to blow her mind. We've been married for 27 years. I want to blow her mind. I want her to just think I'm the greatest guy in the whole planet. I want to impress her like crazy. I want to give to her more than she could ever give to me. And she feels the same way. She wants to give to me more than I give to her. When you get that in a marriage, that's what creates an amazing relationship. When you get that in collaboration or a partnership, that's what creates just amazing community. And it's very hard to get, and it's even harder to keep. Does that help some, Alex?
I guess to summarize your last point, keep eating your head against the brick wall, and you're going to loosen some mortar eventually. Yeah.
Some of that's really good, because eventually you say, if there's an easier way to do it, you're willing to do what you need to do to get where you go. But when you have somebody that's 10 years or 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 years older than you are, they'll give you shortcuts. And when you learn those shortcuts, like I wish when I was, you know, 20, I had somebody like me in my life, which is one of the reasons that I just give to, like, you guys. And you guys need to invest into other people. You need to invest into, like, teenagers. And you will learn so much from them, they from you. And you will build a group that's unstoppable. I mean, it's just amazing. One of the things that I would encourage you guys to do is, what's interesting is I'm not a social person, don't like to be around people, but I've learned how to attract people to where if I want a group, okay, here's the group, this is how we're going to attract. The way to attract people is ask them what their biggest challenge is. Say, you know, I was just thinking about you the other day. Or you could just say to total strangers, just talking, just say, you know, so with all the things you got going in all areas of life, what's the biggest challenge that you're facing in any area of your life? If you ask that question, or there's another question that's really powerful, if you ask the question of, so if somebody could help you in any area of your life, what would you love help on? And, Ben, you had done that with somebody who I think was mentoring you. He was a number of years older, correct?
Yes.
it was, I don't know if he was mentoring you, but he was surprised on when you asked that question or one of those types of questions.
Oh, yeah. It was a guy with Dale Carnegie.
And how old was he?
Pretty old.
Okay.
60-something.
So here's a guy with Dale Carnegie. You guys are probably familiar. So he's, you know, a distributor or certified from highly trained, highly skilled, okay? And he's got a lot of age. And what did you ask him, Ben?
Well, I asked him, with everything that you got going on in your life, what's something, I can't remember the exact word, something like, with everything that you got going on in your life, what's something that you would love help on? Hold on. Mark,
what was his response?
Well, I mean, his response, he was floored because he'd never heard that. So I don't even remember what he said because he was so, I mean, he'd never heard that question before. He said, we had talked a little bit, he said, you know, I have a client meeting I'm going into. I might use that same question. He's like, that's a great question. I mean, basically, the guy was really impressed with it. I mean, I use it all the time now. So, like, whenever I meet someone new, I use it all the time because I'm so sick and tired of talking about how was your day, fine. Oh, wow, it's really hot. It's been really hot out, really nice weather. Like, I'm so sick of doing that with customers and family members and friends that I just use that question all the time now.
Nice.
You just go right to the good stuff without having to.
So I'd encourage you guys to do that. And then what you do is as soon as they say it, you put your hand to your chin and you go,
Oh, my goodness.
That's interesting. And then you say, you know, I'm part of a mastermind group on Monday at 5:30. And I think there might be some people in that group that might go ahead and have some ideas on maybe that could help you. And when you do that, you will be an attractor of people. Now, the reason people don't is they're like, well, what if they come up with a question I don't know? Well, what if this and this? And so they're fearful of asking the question. You don't need to be worried about what response. Just the question itself is so powerful, it will attract a lot of people to you. Any other questions before we dive into the second part?
Mark, this is Keith. Do you want me to stay on? I'm ignoring your son.
You're ignoring my son?
He's calling me.
I don't care. Yeah, if you have an appointment, obviously the appointment has a precedence. But if you're...
Well, there's no appointment. There's just
okay.
To return
his
call.
Yeah, it's totally up to you. Whatever you want to do is fine. Okay, so we're going to take 12 minutes here real quick to set the stage, for the building a relationship for life. And so I went ahead and am co-authoring a book, and it's kind of been put on hold a little bit, and I think you guys are resurrecting it. And it's a book on title, The Relationship, Relationships for Life, and I was co-authoring the book with my two nieces. So if you guys can see the screen, you'll see the two nieces. They were 5 and 7 when we started it, so a couple years ago. And it was really, there's tremendous insight. And so what I need from probably Bobby and Lissy is I've thought about, like, how would this be structured? And so you have the emotion, like, for a marriage to occur, you need to have, there's the emotional, there's the financial, there's the spiritual, there's the physical. Those are the ones that I came up with. And so, with you guys, which of those would you like to kind of start with?
Financial, probably.
Yeah, financial.
That's like really the only thing we're missing.
Okay.
and the biggest thing between us as well.
Okay. So a couple things is, how can I say it? Like, you think you have those other things, but you don't.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you don't. After 27 years of marriage, I'm not sure I've got those things. So the financial might be the most obvious, but those others, trust me, you know, you're a long ways off from where you could be, should be, need to be, and will be. The thing is, the more you know you don't know in those things. But the financial is not, I mean, that's probably a good place to start. And so in the financial, you know, I was married when I was 20 and my wife was 19. I had been working for that marriage financially since I was at least 13. So I had been working for 7 years. I had my own car that I had paid for when I was 16, and I paid cash for it. I had invested into real estate, and I had over $20,000 in cash. I was paying for my own college. We were paying for Rosanna's college. I had a full-time job with benefits. I had a part-time job, and I was starting my own company. So I went in with a massive amount of financial, no debt, financial reserves, a lot of security, a lot of, you know, the full-time job, all of those things. And I was going to college full-time, too. I was taking 15 to 18 credit hours, and Rosanna was as well. We did that all simultaneously. And so I made a lot of sacrifices. Early on, I jumped on that thing. So when most teenagers, most 14 or 15-year-olds were saving for maybe a car or buying Xboxes, I was saving for a house at the age of 14 and 15 years old.
Mm-hmm.
When we graduated both together, I ended up with 3 bachelor's degrees in business. She ended up with her elementary education degree. As soon as we graduated, we bought a house, and I put 20% down on the house. And that's all from money that I had saved when I was a teenager. And so went in with a tremendous amount of financial knowledge, self-discipline. I didn't spend money. I mean, I saved everything. Knew how to invest it, knew how to do a lot of different things. And so my understanding is, and I could be wrong, but based on statistics, I believe that the biggest challenge marriages are having is the financial. And so what I would recommend is that you guys, do you guys have a budget?
Sort of.
Kind of, yeah.
Okay, I would get a budget down like crazy. I'd get Quicken, get it all automated, and I would be watching it. I remember when I was probably 12 or 13 years old, I had a manual system for tracking everything that I earned. And so get it down a budget and live on that budget. And you want to save as much money, you want to cut out everything that you possibly can cut out. And so, like my 11 and 13-year-old, I'm starting to take an approach with them that you're going to marry, or you're going to find some really attractive young lady that you are going to want to marry, and the biggest hindrance to that is going to be the financial, because we live in a consumptive world where I make money and then I spend it, and I spend money that I don't even have.
Hey, Mark?
Yes.
Mark, I got to leave. I don't know if this is recorded or not.
It is.
But I'm definitely going to be on this call again next week. I just wanted to say something really quick. There's a woman that's been in my life for the last year, and we recently finished a Dave Ramsey Financial Peace University class.
Yep.
It's the best $200 I ever spent. That would go great in addition to whatever you guys talk about here. I just wanted to, because you're saying save the money, and that's like I've been told that a lot too, but the Dave Ramsey thing kind of breaks it down into what that looks like.
Nice.
Well, I just wanted to let you guys know I went through it, and it was amazing.
Nice. Very good. Great to have you on, Ben. Thanks for staying longer, too. Appreciate it.
See you next week.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll see you.
See ya.
So I would get the budget. I would go ahead and get the financial. The other thing that I'm a real big believer in, and it's like, how does that fit into the financial? How does it fit into anything? It's like that's immoral, and I don't think it's a moral thing. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Dr. James Dobson with Focus on the Family.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. So Focus on the Family, big worldwide organization, Focus on the Family, and they reach out. They do amazing things. He's a doctor, and he said on one of his shows, he said to one of the co-hosts, he says, I don't understand why God designed men to peak sexually between the ages of 18 and 22, 23. And women peak in their early 30s. And he's like, I don't understand this. And immediately I'm like, I'm listening on the radio. I'm like, oh, I understand it. I get it. And so when I went ahead and was dating Rosanna, it was very hard to be morally pure. Very hard. When we got engaged, I mean, it is only by the grace of God that we continued that. I could not believe how hard it was. I mean, it was just unbelievably, excruciatingly painful. I mean, just beyond anything I'd ever experienced in my whole life. And we did that, and we maintained that until marriage. And I remember when I went ahead and started in straight commission right out of college, had three other job offers that went ahead and said they're secure positions, and they, you know, I could have gone in. And so when I felt like quitting in those early positions, and then later on when I started Synergy, any time that I felt like quitting, I always reflected back and said, Mark, you maintained purity when you were engaged. If you can do that, you can do anything. So the purity in the dating and in the engagement, and I've shared this with tons of couples, and they're like, I have never heard anything like this before. If it's the male's responsibility, largely like a higher responsibility for the male, it would seem only true that if a male abdicates that responsibility, fails at that responsibility, that God would judge him harder. But you don't hear that. You hear how it hurts the girl. I think it actually hurts the guy more. And this is how I think it hurts him. It destroys or weakens his self-confidence. When a male maintains purity in dating and engagement, he gains so much confidence that he can do anything in the world because it's what we call the caterpillar principle. And so a caterpillar, when it's breaking free of the cocoon, if you go ahead and see the pain that it's going through and you very carefully cut open that cocoon to release that caterpillar, that butterfly, that new butterfly, what will happen to the butterfly? Anyone know?
I don't know.
It'll die.
It won't be fully grown?
It'll be fully grown, but what happens is the struggle to break free of the cocoon is the struggle to do that is what fills its wings, the membranes of the wings, so it can fly. So if you open that up before it should be opened up, if they don't go through the struggle, what happens is the butterfly can't fly, which means it will starve to death or it will be eaten. And so every one of the guys that my daughters have dated, I've had that conversation with my daughters and with the guys that they're dating, saying, listen, if you don't maintain purity, it will decimate your confidence as a male. It's a false confidence. It's not deep confidence. Mm-hmm. And so I would encourage any couple that's listening to this, and I would encourage the women, you have to have in this economy a man that is confident. And the best thing you can do for a man to have confidence is help that guy in your life, your fiance, your boyfriend, to have male purity and moral purity. And when he does, he gains something that he will have the rest of his life. You and he and your family will be blessed, I believe, for all generations. That discipline comes back into the financial, where you're continually making sacrifices in the short term for the long term. So what feels good financially in the short term will often hurt you in the long term. So what feels good in the short term financially will hurt you in the long term. And then there's a whole science of the business side online, Bobby, that you need to master. It's called the 530 grid. And so I would encourage you to just absolutely, totally dive in to that. Lissy, Rosanna has never had to work outside the home in our 27 years of marriage, partly because we're probably pretty frugal, not as frugal as my parents, but more frugal than most people, partly because of our belief of debt, not having debt, and then partially because I work really, really hard and we're willing to make sacrifices to have her stay at home with the kids. But she did go ahead and help with the books. She did help in the marketing. She did help with some of the sales in the company. And so one of the best things, Lissy, that you can do is you can learn some of the things that Bobby – anything that you can learn or do that Bobby doesn't have to learn or do gives him the ability to have greater capacity to generate more revenue. And if you can learn how to do those things, not only will it help him, but it helps you, and potentially it will help you to fund your own way to college, through college. Does that make sense?
Yeah, very interesting.
So I don't know how much structure you guys are looking for in the marriage side. Ideally, you would find 3 to 5 other couples that are in about the same situation where they're maybe engaged, maybe looking at getting married at around the same time you guys are. If you can get 3 to 5 other couples involved in this, your experience will be enriched so much. And then what I would encourage you to do is forge lifelong relationships and commitments with those 4 other couples to say, we commit to be friends for the rest and connected for the rest of our lives. We don't know where we're going to be. We don't know what that's going to look like, but we're going to do something because that's something we did not have. And we had friends, but we didn't forge those deep, deep connections because I didn't know how valuable those would have been during the teenage years. Now I do, which is why I share with you guys that if you go through that together, there are some really cool things where you can have lifelong relationships that will help you financially, help you in business, help you, you know, emotionally, spiritually, that will help you relationally with friends. It'll just be amazing. Does that make sense, Bobby?
Yeah.
Excellent. Alex, appreciate you hanging out. Did you have any questions, Alex?
Lissy's phone died, so he just gave it.
Yeah, we've all been in the same room, which is kind of silly.
Oh, okay. All right.
yeah.
Lissy, any questions?
Here, let me hand the phone to him, actually. Do you have any questions?
So far,
he doesn't have any questions.
Okay. And so you guys can guide me a little bit on, you know, what you'd like or how far or how deep you'd like to go. Get that budget together. Try to get it over to me so I can see kind of what you guys are looking to do.
I think that's an awesome plan.
What's that?
I said I think that's an awesome plan.
Good, good. And then the 530 grid, Bobby, that's the thing in your business. That's the machine. You get the database, you identify the targets, you develop and deliver a message. That 530 grid took me over 18 years to discover. I mean, it is unbelievable how that will accelerate what you're doing and going through. So go through the lessons online, and Lissy, I would go through as well, because you'll pick up things Bobby doesn't, he'll pick up things you don't. But you guys go through those lessons online as fast as you can go through them to absorb the head knowledge you need to have. Once you get the head knowledge, then you can go out and start doing it and really know, did I learn what I needed to learn?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 1 to 10, Bobby, how would you rate the overall session today?
7.8.
Nice. And what would it take to get to a 10?
More people, maybe.
Okay, cool. We had a great, turnout, and I think, you know, some part of that was because of that email. I now have a group, so the 530 grid, what I did is I built a group of people in my Gmail, and I sent it out today, inviting, which is why I think Keith came and Ben came.
Okay.
And then what I did is I developed and delivered a message to those people. And so you keep building that group, and then you keep coming back with positive things where people say, man, that was amazing, this was great, and you get that word out to everybody else. And you use the testimonials of other people, the energy of other people, to be able to get more, draw more and more people. Lissy, 1 to 10, how would you rate it?
Probably an 8.
Excellent. And to get to a 10?
My goodness. Maybe... it just goes very fast on the phone. I think I'm not used to that. And, like, it's a short amount of time, and that's totally, like, that's understandable. Like, it's a weeknight and everything. I think a half an hour is good. But, like, you know, for once a week of meeting only for, like, a half an hour, like, it just seems like a short bit of time.
Nice. Nice. And if you think it's short now, wait until you get two or three or four times the number of people on.
Right. That's what I'm thinking. I'm like, what if we get more people? Like, that's going to happen.
Yeah, it gets tricky to hold them because they don't get to talk, and people like to talk.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, if you can get people to listen to the previous recordings, it gets people up to speed faster. So it's a journey. You'll enjoy it, and there'll be parts you'll be frustrated. Is Alex where you can ask him 1 to 10?
Yeah, let me put him on.
Alex, 1 to 10?
I'm sorry?
1 to 10, how would you rate today's session? 10 being the best?
I'd say genuinely probably about an 8, but it is my first session, and I'm still getting adjusted to the whole idea. So
cool. Yeah, no, that's awesome. And any ideas on what it would take to get to a 10?
Not as of yet, sir.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you really being on. Bobby, good leadership. You're really taking it over. What we may want to do is whenever you're ready to take one session and kind of lead that session, my guess is maybe 2 to 4 weeks is I would just, you know, bounce out for 1 week and then you would take the session and lead it, see how everything goes. If we do it too quick, that's not good for you or the group. If we do it too slow, that's not good for you or the group. And we'll kind of see how that goes from there. If you're listening to the rebroadcast of this, you have any questions, feel free to connect with the individual who invited you to participate in today's session, or you can call toll-free 888-230-2300. That's 888-230-2300. God bless, and have a great day. Bye-bye.